Parashas chapter 13. So today's chapter is shorter, less the complicated story. It starts at the beginning of the previous story, as we've discussed yesterday, which so I will repeat it a little bit, but we already discussed it. It's basically, whoever cut up the chapters this way, it's not any other division that cuts things up, although it's sort of reasonable. The Parashas just continue one long story all the way until the end of this chapter. So from the beginning of the previous chapter, where we had Avram going down to Egypt, to Mitzrayim, and then coming back up, and now he's back in Canaan, back in the same place where he, back in the second place where he was, right? So he went, we had three places where he was in chapter 12. First in Shechem, then in Bethel, then he goes back to, down north, south. And now we have him coming back to, so he's coming from the south, so he's going back to the more southern place where he had sort of a set place where he stayed, which is in the place where he had his oil, his tent, which is between Beis El and Ai. These are two cities, very famous cities later. Now we have the story of Lot. So we learn the story of the beginning of the story of Lot, the story of the division, division of the land between Avram and Lot. And this is probably an important story also, and seems like much later in already in the Chumash and later in Tanakh. Lot's children are Ammon and Moab, who live slightly to the east of Israel. And there's some kind of story to explain why these are in some sense close, so in some sense brothers, and in another sense not in the same. In another sense they are far, in another sense they are not living in the same place. So, and it's interesting that we have a similar story to explain in there's different versions, there's different explanations of the same thing, but there's one version later and much later about the division between Yisrael and Edom, where Yaakov and Esav has a similar story also to explain why they're living close but not in the same land. So the story is that since Avram went up from Mitzrayim with a lot of possessions, and which he received from Mitzrayim, and maybe from, he seemed to have been a good businessman in general, not only, it's not the only place he had achieved a lot of material success. And Lot, who was traveling along with him or going along with him, also had many possessions, many animal possessions, many ohelim. I think Otsoin of Akarvelim just means the animals and their pastors. The ohel is Yoshva Ohel, is always the people who live in tents, are the people who supervise animals, the people who take care of the animals who live in tents so they can travel along with the animals, pastoralists. Now, the story is that the land did not carry them. So, of course, every land is limited in the amount of feed it can provide, the amount of animals' life it can support. And this land where they were living was not big enough to support them both. And therefore, they had a fight. And this is a very, like, also since we live in these fights, the reason, the basic reason why there's fights between people is because of a limited amount of resources. There's not enough. There is not enough of land for both of them, and that is what causes the fight. And you can assume that when once there's a fight, there's other reasons why there's a fight. So each one has some ideologies and stuff, and we have Chazal talking about that. Really, it's a fight about who's stealing and so on. But if you see the literal pshat, which is always before everything, is saying that the reason why this tight fought is because there's a limited amount. They couldn't both use the same land. So the shepherds of Avram and Shafar Lloyd have a machloikis. There's this little comment here that at that time, the Canaanite and the Perizzi are still living in the land. And possibly that's also to explain why there's a limited amount of land. If otherwise, maybe they could have spread out to wherever they wanted, but there's other people living there. It's not like they own the land. They might have some, they must have had some permission to live there, some kind of relation with the local tribes or whoever is in charge locally, but they're still not their land. So now, and that was the story doesn't discuss the Riv. It jumps over to Avram's solution. The solution that Avram has right away, Vayomer Avram Eloit, and there must have been some conversation preceding this, which led up, but he's giving a solution. He says, why should we have a fight between me and you, and between my shepherds and your shepherds? Well, in other words, what he's saying is that our shepherds are fighting, but really it's a fight between us. And we are brothers. We're literally brothers, right? You're my nephew, so you're my father and my brother. Same thing. And brothers doesn't always mean literally children of the same parents, but they are almost literally brothers. So therefore, he says, the whole land is before you. In other words, there's room. There's room where to spread out. Let's divide. Let's separate. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. We can find, we could demarcate different limits. Each one will have his boundary. and therefore won't be a fight. And it seems like part of the story is that Avram is giving Lloyd the choice. You can choose. So, of course, usually when there's a fight, it's not like there isn't literally anywhere to go. It's just each wants the better land. So Lloyd seems to have chosen the better land. This seems to be part of the story. Avram, as his graciousness or his gesture of trying to make peace here, let Lloyd have the first choice. He said, you will choose which land you want. Whichever you choose, I will move to the other side of the land. And that's what happens. Lloyd picks up his eyes. This is a very important language in Tanakh. V'yisalet es einav, which it symbolizes, it always shows something important. Like he's looking up and seeing. It's like a discovery, or might include like he sent out scouts to find out where the land is good and so on. And he sees this area called Kikar Yarden. Kikar is like the plain of the Yarden. And the Pusik, either this is describing something, like it doesn't say that Lloyd said, but it's something what he saw. It's written in like the third person in an objective tone. But Kikar Yarden was a great, very fertile land. Kilamashka just means it's very fertile. It has a lot of water. And the Pusik gives us a comment. This is before God destroyed Sodom and Amorah. Of course, now you go in Kikar Yarden and you see a lot of salt and a lot of non-fertile land, almost the opposite of that. But before that, this was a great place to live, a great place to raise animals. And it's Kigan Hashem Ki Eretz Mitzrayim. As great as God's garden, as great as the land of Mitzrayim. So, of course, the background of all these stories is Mitzrayim is the best place. And there's two best places of basically in these stories, Mitzrayim and the Gan Hashem, in other words, the Gan Eden, the Gan that God planted in Parshas Bereishis. And we notice that this is very similar. It was said to be a place which has abundant water. There's rivers providing water for it. There's some Ed Yalim and Uretz maybe. Not of course. In any case, it's not a place where there's a lot of work to get water into it. Kilar Mashke, and so it's a fertile place. And Mitzrayim was also such a place. Of course, there's the Nilus, which might be one of the four rivers. There's a complication in this, but it seems like it's literally, at least here, we might understand that the Mitzrayim, which is has the water of the Nilus, must be said to be similar to that. This is interesting. It's generally interesting, people that think that Parshas Sefer Bereishis, the Torah is very into describing how great the land of Canaan, or the land of Israel, is. Here it seems like the best land in Israel can be compared to Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim, which is really the rich place, and definitely at that time, that's what it was. And that's why Avram, when he went to Mitzrayim, and he came back with many possessions from Mitzrayim, and not like Mitzrayim became poor out of that, right? This was a very good opportunity for him. So Lloyd chooses. So Lloyd is the one chooses. Lloyd is the one that takes the choice. He chooses the Kikar Yarden, and he travels Mikedem. Seems to me from the east, but maybe it means to the east because it seems like he's going more east. So therefore, Avram is living in Eretz Canaan. Lloyd is living in the cities of the Kikar, of the plain, and Vayehal creating his tents until Sodom. In other words, and I think Rashi says this, but this is also a simple pshat. This is like we said, when people have are raising animals, so they're going to move along wherever they're pasturing, and therefore they're living in tents, and that's what. Now there's another side note here, like a objective note, which like the narrator's voice says, that the people of Sodom were roim v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'od, they were very evil, very sinners to God. This is, of course, again, a reference like we had roim v'chatoim l'Hashem, I don't know, not this exact language, but people being ra was the description of the Dor HaMabul. Not exactly the description of the Dara Filoga, but more description of the Ramabel. So again, it's something signifying to us that, like we discussed, that now there's different places which have different moral levels. Like in the beginning, the stories of Noach and is only the stories of entirely, are only stories of the entire all humanity. Now we have people of Sodom who are bad. Not all of humanity is bad. People of Sodom are bad. Okay. Now, what we have Avram moving a little more, or receiving some, both a command to move more and another promise, which is interesting. So Vashem Amar al Avram Achre Purat Loit Meime After. So and I think this what this is it's very important because as we discussed, this story is explaining why Avram has the land of Canaan and Loit has a different land, and the promise to Avram to have the land is specifically in this way, like you have this land and Loit has that land. Therefore, after Loit separates from Avram, Hashem tells Loit, there's a new revelation. This is the second time we get the same promise, really, but in the first time there was Loit included and it's less defined, it might be even both. Now we have a clearer separation, there's Loit's land, there's Avram's land, so this promise doesn't include Loit's land, but Hashem tells Avram, raise up your eyes. So again, this is very much same way as Lloyd had the Yisraelite as Einav and saw the Kikar Yarden, the same way Hashem tells Avram, son of Nechorai, from the place where you are, all in all four directions, the Fine of Anegba, north, south, and east and west, all this land will be given to you and your children forever. So this is interesting. Does this include the kikariya then? It seems like it doesn't. But what he's saying is that you're not left. You gave Lloyd the choice to choose the best place. It's not like you're left with nothing. You will have a lot, even though it's not now. And he adds in this word, lezaracha, your children. Maybe you're only living in one place, one part of it. Eventually, you will have all of it. And you will have children, of course. You'll not only one child, you'll have many children, which will be not be able, it says, if the sand of the earth can be counted, your children will be able to count. So you'll have children as the sand of the earth. And this is connecting with like him looking at it out at this like big area with, where there's a lot of sand. And there's like, that's another thing, stand up and walk, travel the land. In other words, he's asking him to travel more. So obviously he's traveling here, right? He has to travel, but it's from away from Lloyd to get away from this fight. And Hashem is telling him that your travels are not going to make you smaller, they're going to make you bigger. And this is like another echo of the same thing where he tells you in the beginning of Lech Lecha, the previous chapter, where he's traveling away from his father's place and he's getting a promise to have a land in his travels and really to become even bigger when he's traveling. The same way, he's becoming even bigger when he's traveling. And the next pasuk is actually Avram doing that. But yeah, Avram, he makes his tents and he goes and he lives in some place called Eloin Mamre, which is in Hebron. We have to look on the map and figure out how all of this works, but it's a new place. And we'll see later how he had some relationship with this people living in Eloin Mamre, or maybe Mamre. It's actually a person whose plains or area it this belonged to, or he controlled it. And this was the beginning of Avram's success, it seems like. It seems like in Shechem and in Bethel, he didn't have a lot of success. I mean, he was rich, but you see that he got into problems with Lloyd. He obviously had to move away from Shechem. It doesn't say why. In Hebron, he seemed to have lived for much longer. We see later they lived there for a long time. And we see also that he had some relations. In the next story already, we have this relationship that he had allies, Baalei Bris Avram, Onan Eshkele Mamre, so seems connected with Eloin Mamre. He gets allies, local allies, and it's similar, if you remember later, the story of Dovda Melech, who is his first place where he creates a kingdom as a Hebron. Seems like Hebron, Shechem is of course the place where the other kingdom is created. So it seems like these are like two areas where the beginning of creating a kingdom in Israel are, and Hebron is like the more successful one already for Avram, and he makes a Mizbeach there again. Like we discussed what a Mizbeach does.